to get to the buried rich coal seams. Large tracts of the area looked like the surface of the moon now, cratered and denuded. It was a process called surface mining. To Reed, a better term was surface annihilation. He turned down the road to make his last delivery of the day. It was a package that had to be signed for. He pulled into the gravel drive. This neighborhood had once been fairly nice. Well, if one went back to the 1950s. Now the yards were filled with trash and dirty plastic toys. Ancient rusted Fords and Dodges were up on concrete blocks. The home's cheap siding was popping off. Every surface of wood needed painting. And roofs were starting to collapse as though God above were pressing down on them. He pulled the package from the postal bin and trudged toward the house. It was a tired-looking two-story with vinyl siding. A plywood wheelchair ramp bled off the stoop. There were two cars parked in the gravel in front of his black Ford, a Chrysler minivan, and a late-model Lexus. He continued on, bypassing the ramp, hit the bottom step, trekked up the three squared-off logs of poured concrete, and rang the bell. He waited. 10 seconds. 20. He rang again.
Hello? Mailman. Got a package, needs a signature.
He glanced at the package's label and called out,
Mr. Halverson?
He rang again and then knocked on the glass, two sharp raps with his knuckles. He raised his voice.
Hello? It's the mailman. Need a signature. If it goes back, you probably won't see it again.
Finally, he heard someone approaching. He noted that the wooden door was cracked open a few inches. The sounds grew nearer and then stopped. Reed was hard of hearing, or he would have noticed the odd sound of the footfalls. The door finally inched open. Reed tugged back the glass portal. His hand extended the package in it.
You got a pen? He asked.
When the door opened more, he blinked. There was no one there. The door had opened all by itself. Then he glanced down. A miniature collie looked back up at him, its long snout and furry hindquarters swaying from side to side. It had obviously nosed the door open.
Hey there, buddy.
He knelt down.
Hey there.
He scratched the dog's ears. When Reed's hand hit the wetness in the animal's fur, he at first thought it was dog pee and he jerked back. When he looked down at his palm, he saw the red, sticky substance that had been transferred from the collie. Blood.
You hurt, boy?
He examined the dog. More blood, but no wound that he could see. He stood, one hand on the knob.
Hello? Anybody here? Hello? Everybody okay?
He edged inside the house. It was warm. His nose wrinkled at the unpleasant smell.
Hello? Your dog has blood on him. Everything okay?
He took a few more steps forward, cleared the small vestibule, and peered around the corner into the tiny living room set off the hall. An instant later, the wooden front door was thrown back, the knob punching a crater in the drywall. The glass door was kicked open so hard that it hit the metal banister on the left side of the porch, shattering the glass. Howard Reed jumped from the top step to the dirt. His heels dug in. He gave one shudder, sank to his knees, and threw up what little was in his stomach. John Puller stared out the window at the great state of Kansas a few thousand feet below. He leaned closer to the plane's window and looked straight down. The jet was now flying over federal property. In this case, that federal property was a prison, or rather several of them, both federal and military. They were passing over the old USDB, or United States Disciplinary Barracks, also known as the Castle. For over 100 years, it had housed the worst of the armed forces lawbreakers. The inmates here had been convicted at court-martial of violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.